Good morning, and welcome back to a brand new week. Some parts of me here think that maybe we'd be better off if we could just go back to bed and crawl under the covers and not wake up today. It's a Monday, September 15th, and you're listening to Radio or Not. I'm Nicole Sandler, and I started with REM's It's the End of the World as We Know It for a good reason, because, boy, it sure feels that way today. Are we on the verge of another Great Depression? I know I'm sort of feeling that way personally today. Yeah, over the weekend I got my package from, I don't know the name of the company, the company that manages the COBRA plan. Once you've been fired from a job, you can elect to continue your health coverage at exorbitant rates. So sure enough, I got my COBRA package. If I wanted to continue just for myself with insurance, it would cost me $304 a month. To add my child on, it more than doubles. For me and Allison, my monthly nut will be $760 for health insurance. If that alone doesn't say we need to get these thieving Republicans out of office, I don't know what does. Because they have no health care plan. For them, they just say, well, save a little more. Have a health savings plan. Sorry, that doesn't cut it when millions of Americans are losing their homes and losing their jobs. We wake up today to the news that Lehman Brothers is filing bankruptcy. And seeing the pictures of all the people going into the building, their Lehman Brothers headquarters in Manhattan, and leaving with big boxes of stuff. Because all those people are now in the same boat I am, unemployed. And it's only going to get worse. So the stock market's going to fall big time today. And not only here in the U.S., world stock markets are crashing. Thank you, George W. Bush. And we have John McCain, who admits he doesn't know anything about the economy. And John McCain, who won't release his medical records, 72 years old, with, I guess, serious health problems. Otherwise, why not release his medical records? And he got Sarah Palin a heartbeat away from the presidency if they're to get elected. I thought today what we would do is listen back to part two of Sarah Palin's interview with Charlie Gibson that took place last week, because it aired Friday night. And our last program on Friday, we went through Sarah Palin's interview part one, and I got a record number of downloads for Radio or Not. Thank you very much. So I thought today, well, let's go and listen to part two, shall we?
Governor John McCain and you are now talking about the GOP as a party of change.
Yeah, right.
We've got a very sick economy.
Thank you, Charlie.
Tell me the three principal things you would do to change the Bush economic policies.
And you're right, our economy is weak right now, and we have got to strengthen it, and government can play an appropriate role in helping to strengthen the economy. Our 6.1% unemployment rate is unacceptable also across our nation. We need to put government back on the side of the people and make sure that it is not government solely looked at for all the solutions, for one. Government has got to get out of the way in some respects of the private sector, being able to create the jobs that we need, jobs that are going to allow for the families to be able to afford health care, to be able to afford their mortgages, to be able to afford college tuition for their kids. That's got to be the principle here. Reform government, recognize that it's not government to be looked at to solve all the problems.
Yeah, but Sarah, if government has broken everything, maybe it's up to government to fix it.
Taxes, of course, I think is one of the most important
things
that government can control and to help with this issue.
What you said to me at the beginning, I don't think anybody in the Bush administration would disagree with. What do you change in the Bush economic plans?
We have got to make sure that we reform the oversight also of the agencies, including the quasi-government.
She doesn't answer a single question. Did you notice? She just lets Charlie Gibson ask his question, and then she goes on to her next very well-rehearsed talking point.
Agencies like Freddie and Fannie, those things that have created an atmosphere here in America where people are fearful of losing their homes.
Yes.
People are looking at job loss.
Yes.
People are looking at unaffordable health care for their families.
Think?
We have got to reform the oversight of these agencies.
Okay, Sarah, he asked you how. Not we have to reform the oversight. No, you got to reform more than just the oversight. You got to change it. And it's your party who's been in control for the last 8 years and screwed everything up.
Have such control over Americans' pocketbooks.
So let me summarize the three things that you'd change in the Bush economic plans. One, two, three.
Reduce taxes. Control spending.
Wait, how do you reduce taxes in a time of war when the government is already so underfunded and can't afford the programs it has, when everything and the little money that the government does have, you're bailing out major investment firms, but people like me, I can't afford my health care now? Reduce taxes, yeah. On who, Sarah? The wealthiest? On corporations?
Reform the oversight and the overseeing agencies and committees to make sure that America's dollars and investments are protected.
So let me break down some of those down.
These edits, I got to tell you something.
How much smaller?
These edits are so annoying because I'm just wondering what the hell they've cut out. They've cut out stuff that makes her look even stupider than she is.
Would a McCain budget be? Where would you cut?
We're going to find efficiencies in every department. We have got to. There's some things that I think should be off the table. Veterans programs, off the table. You know, we owe it to our veterans, and that's the greatest manifestation that we can show in terms of support for our military, those who are in public service fighting for America, is to make sure that our veterans are taken care of and the promises that we've made to them.
You mean the GI Bill that John McCain voted against numerous times before he finally had to give in and vote for it? I guess that's what you're talking about, Sarah, huh?
Military off the table and veterans benefits. That's 20%
veterans
of the budget.
Benefits should be off the table.
Do you talk about entitlement reform? Is there money you can save in Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid?
I am sure that there are efficiencies that are going to be found in all of these agencies. I'm confident in that.
But agencies are not involved in entitlements. Basically, discretionary spending is 18% of the budget.
We have certainly seen excess in agencies, though, and in when bureaucracy just gets kind of comfortable going with the status quo and not being challenged to find efficiencies and spend other people's money wisely, then that's where we get into the situation that we are into today, and that is a tremendous growth of government, a huge debt, trillions of dollars of debt that we're passing on to
kids. Yes, Sarah, where did that debt come from? Let's just think, huh? George Bush took office with actually a budget surplus. Now we have the biggest debt ever, thanks to 8 years of George Bush Republican rule. Where's the change?
Grandkids, it's unacceptable.
Yeah, it is
unacceptable.
One of
John McCain's central campaign arguments, tenets of his campaign, is eliminating earmarks, getting rid of them. Are you with John McCain on that?
I certainly am.
Really?
And, of course, the poster child for the earmarks was Alaska's, what people in the lower 48 refer to,
right,
the Bridge to Nowhere. Of course,
yeah,
it was a bridge to a community with an airport in southeast Alaska. But that was excessive, and an earmark like that, not even supported necessarily by the majority of Alaskans.
But
we killed that earmark. We killed
that project.
Huh?
But it's now pretty clearly documented. You supported that bridge before you opposed it. But you turned against it after Congress had basically pulled the plug on it. Do you
Thank
want
you.
To revise and extend your remarks?
It has always been an embarrassment that abuse of the earmark process has been accepted in Congress. And that's what John McCain has fought. And that's what I join him in fighting.
But you took advantage of it. You used it for everything you could get out of it. Okay, let's just continue. Because Charlie Gibson does a good job of calling her out on this one. And she's got no defense.
It's been an embarrassment, not just Alaska's projects, but McCain gives example after example after example. And now, obviously, Charlie, with the federal government saying, no, the rest of the nation does not want to fund that project, you have a choice. You either read the writing on the wall and understand, okay, yeah, that project's going nowhere. And the state isn't willing to fund that project. So what good does it do to continue to support something that
So this is the only reason she backed off on it, because Congress said, and the lower 48 said, oh, we're not funding that. And she said, well, and the state's not willing to fund it. I guess, I guess I'm not going to fight it anymore. Okay, now I'll say I'm against it and then I kill it? Excuse me?
The rest of the nation does not want to fund that project. You have a choice. You either read the writing on the wall and understand, okay, yeah, that project's going nowhere. And the state isn't willing to fund that project. So what good does it do to continue to support something that circumstances have so drastically changed? You call an audible and you deal in reality and you move on. And Charlie, we killed the bridge to nowhere, and that's the bottom line.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. She only killed, supposedly, the bridge to nowhere after Congress said we're not paying for it, and the lower 48 said we're not paying for it, and the people of Alaska said we're not paying for it. So then she called an audible, and that she explains that as we killed the bridge to nowhere. No, we killed the bridge to nowhere, Sarah. You didn't kill the bridge to nowhere. You supported it until it was a dead deal and no one was going to fund it. And then you didn't even return the money. You decided, oh, we'll use it for other things in Alaska.
You said you now agree with John McCain that earmark should be eliminated. The state of Alaska governor this year requested $3.2 million for researching the genetics of harbor seals.
Oh, my God.
Money to study the mating habits of crabs.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that exactly the kind of thing that John McCain is objecting to?
Those requests through our research divisions in Fish and Game and our wildlife departments and our university, those research requests did come through that system, but wanting it to be in the light of day, not behind closed doors.
That makes a
with
difference.
Lobbyists making deals with Congress.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I got to stop it again, because even when she was mayor of Wasilla, she hired lobbyists. She went to Washington to figure out how to most blatantly take advantage of the system. She went and did everything she could to get earmarks and get pork for her city, for her little town of Wasilla. And then she only magnified it when she became governor of Alaska. She's talking out of both sides of her mouth. Oh, this is infuriating.
Things in there under the public radar. That's the abuse that we're going to stop.
Is.
In the time I have
left,
I want to talk about some social issues.
Okay.
Roe v. Wade, you think it should be reversed?
I think it should, and I think that states should be able to decide that issue. I am pro-life. I do respect other people's opinion on this also.
No, you don't.
And I think that a culture of life is best for America. What I want to do when elected vice president with John McCain, hopefully be able to reach out and work with those who are on the other side of this issue.
No, you don't.
Because I know that we can all agree on the need for and the desire for fewer abortions in America and greater support for adoption, for other alternatives that women can and should be empowered to embrace to allow that culture of life. That's my personal opinion on this, Charlie.
John McCain would allow abortion in cases of rape and incest.
And she wouldn't.
You believe in it only in the case where the life of the mother is endangered?
That is my personal opinion.
Would you change and accept it in rape and incest?
My personal opinion is that abortion allowed if the life of the mother is endangered. Please understand me on this.
I can't.
Do understand McCain's position on
no,
this.
No, you don't.
I do understand others who are very passionate about
Liar.
This issue who have a differing view.
Embryonic stem cell research.
This
John
is
McCain's
this. Listen to this one. Oh, my
you know,
God.
When you're running for office, your life's an open book, and you do owe it to Americans to talk about your personal opinion.
So this means she can't lie about it, because we know her stance on it, and it's prehistoric.
May end up being different than what the policy in an administration would be. My personal opinion is we should not create human life, create an embryo, and then destroy it for research if there are other options out there.
Nobody is talking about creating an embryo for research. They're talking about the millions and millions of blastocysts of embryos blastocysts, they're single cell things that have been created for fertility, for couples who want to have a baby. And then for whatever reason, they don't use these and they're going to be discarded anyway. So you'd rather them be flushed down the toilet and destroyed rather than used for research that could help save life. That's your culture of life, the rights of a blastocyst over medical research that could help millions and millions and millions of people all over the world. That's how she feels about stem cell research.
Thankfully, again, not only are there other options, but we're getting closer and closer to finding a tremendous amount more of options, like, as I mentioned, the adult skin cell research.
Homosexuality, genetically learned.
I don't know, but I'm not one to judge.
Yes,
and,
you are. I do it every day.
I'm from a family and from a community with many, many members of many diverse backgrounds.
Sure.
And
sure,
I'm not going to judge someone on whether believe that homosexuality is a choice or genetic.
No, you'll just judge homosexuals.
Guns. 70% of this country supports a ban on semi-automatic assault weapons.
Yeah.
Do you?
I do not.
No, because I use them to kill innocent animals.
Here again, life being an open book here as a candidate.
So
I'm a lifetime
you can't
member
lie about
of the
this
NRA.
One, huh?
I believe strongly in our Second Amendment rights. That's kind of inherent in the people of my state who rely on guns for not just self-protection, but also for our hunting and for sport also.
For sport, so you can kill animals with semi-automatic weapons. Real even playing field, Sarah. If that doesn't tell you to be afraid, be very, very, very afraid, I don't know what does. Yeah, not in the best mood today. Can you tell? I'm really, really worried. I hope people are smart enough to see through, I hate to say it, her pretty face. Because Americans, they don't seem to care about the issues. The Saturday Night Live skit was so good. And if you haven't seen it, go to the blog, radioornot.com. I've got a link to it there. There is one last piece of audio. You know, I've been telling you about how this has been edited so obscenely. This interview with Charlie Gibson was choppier than any other interview I've seen, where usually they just let it go. And occasionally you'll see, you can notice an edit here and there. But this was so blatant, so over the top, you just got to wonder what it was they cut out. Well, I found a piece of the missing audio. You ready? Check this out. It was from part one that we dissected on Friday when Charlie Gibson asked Sarah Palin about the Bush Doctrine. And this part was cut out. So here's the actual unedited part of it on Radio or Not.
Do you agree with the Bush Doctrine?
In what respect, Charlie?
What do you interpret it to be?
His worldview?
No, the Bush Doctrine, enunciated September 2002, before the Iraq War.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
And that's all you need to know. That there is Sarah Palin in a nutshell, a former beauty queen who doesn't have a clue, and she would be a heartbeat away from the presidency. Be afraid. Be very, very afraid. Look at what's happening on Wall Street. Look at Lehman Brothers. You and I are getting no help. They have federal bailouts, socialism of these big investment firms. The mortgage crisis is what it is. Because of George Bush. John McCain has no clue when it comes to economics. Sarah Palin has no clue when it comes to anything. Let's go back and talk about the issues. Let's get away from personality. Let's get away from who's prettier. Let's get back to who's smarter. Who's got the intelligence to pull us out of the crapper that we're in? Because I'll tell you something, I'm not happy today. There are millions of people out there who are not happy today. And it's thanks to the policies of this administration. We're in a bad place. We got to fix it. That does it for today's edition of Radio or Not. I'm Nicole Sandler. I started the show today with REM's It's the End of the World as We Know It. Well, it doesn't have to be. We can change it. We can fix it. But not with these clowns, not with John McCain and Sarah Palin, that's for sure. I'll leave you with a song from a band called Dramarama that we'll dedicate to Sarah Palin and John McCain. It's called Haven't Got a Clue. It's Radio or Not. Have a great day. Toothpick style Christmas.